Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 3, day 2 of the study of 1 Samuel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Samuel 8, 1 through 9. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I encourage you to go to 10weekbible.com and download the reading plan for 1 Samuel and follow along reading or listening to it 10 times in 10 weeks. I love hearing from listeners, so if you ever have any questions or comments, you can send an email to me at darrenhibbs.com, or you can reach me on Twitter at darrenhibbs. Let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today? God, speak to us from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not follow his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. Let's pause right there and take a look at this, because I find this very fascinating. We started out the book of 1 Samuel seeing how Eli and his sons were wicked, especially Eli's sons. He had two sons who were priests of the Lord and who were leading all Israel. Now, we talked about yesterday how Samuel is the last judge in the line of Israel. He was the last person who had led and judged Israel. Eli, before him, was the second to last. Eli was actually a judge over Israel as well, and he had appointed his sons in his place. So his sons not only were priests, but they also were the judges of Israel, and they were horribly wicked. And so we see that Samuel's sons are not much different. They are judging Israel and they are accepting bribes. They're going up to dishonest gain. They're perverting the land. They're perverting justice for people. This is horrible. What I find fascinating about this is that the word of the Lord, what the Lord does for Eli and Samuel, are completely different. For Eli, he brings judgment and punishment. The Lord takes Eli and his sons' lives on the same day. For Samuel, it's very different. We don't know what happens to Samuel's sons. We will find out later that Samuel's grandson becomes one of the primary people who leads a 24/7 worship and prayer ministry before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord in Jerusalem under King David. But for now, all we see is that Samuel's sons are going to kind of fade into the background here. But we do have to understand just how bad things have gotten. I mean, Samuel's sons, he's appointed them. And for the same reason, you know, that when the Lord came to Eli and said that he was bringing judgment, he doesn't do the same thing with Samuel. And so it's very interesting. We've got such similar situations. Why does the Lord treat them so differently? I think the answer lies in Samuel's heart. And it's the last thing that we read. He said, Samuel prayed to the Lord when they said they wanted a king, when Israel wanted a king. We don't see Eli doing anything of the sort. We don't see him going to the Lord in prayer. We just see him accepting whatever comes. You know, we see one of the prophets that comes and tells him this awful word that he's going to die and the Lord's going to cut off everyone in his family. And when Samuel has this encounter with the Lord and the Lord tells Samuel the same thing, Eli just says, you know, he's the Lord. Whatever he wants to do is fine. Eli doesn't repent. We don't see Eli repenting. We don't see him going to the Lord for counsel, but it's the first thing that Samuel does. And I think that is one of the biggest takeaways we can take from this chapter and from the Bible as a whole. Nobody is perfect. No human being is perfect. And no one is going to raise perfect children. You know, Samuel was raised by Eli. So his only, parental mentor is Eli. So he ends up with sons who are just as bad as Eli and his sons. So it's not that Samuel was this great, perfect man. He was not this shining example of how to be a perfect leader or a parent. But he loved the Lord, and he served the Lord, and he went to the Lord. His heart was humble enough to go to the Lord. Samuel was not perfect, but he knew the Lord. And I think that's an important distinction. We gather that Eli didn't really know the Lord. He didn't really serve the Lord. His sons didn't. And we're going to see that the Lord is going to redeem this. Again, if we do a little sleuthing, we're going to find out that the Lord uses Samuel's grandsons in powerful ways. But his sons are wicked. But the main thing here, and I love this, is that Samuel, his heart was bent toward the Lord. The first thing that he does is he prays. He goes and he seeks the counsel of God. What would have been different if Eli had done the same thing? What would be different in your life, in my life, if when trouble comes, if the first thing that we did is we turn to the Lord? When people turn against us, as they are here against Samuel, Samuel is taking this very personally. Said, this displeased Samuel. All of the good that Samuel had done for the nation of Israel, he's taking this on his shoulders as a personal attack against him. What would happen if we would do the same thing when we feel attacked, when people come against us, if instead of striking back against people, if instead we just said, Lord, what do I do? Let's look at what the Lord tells Samuel. This is verse 7. The Lord told him, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you that they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights. Now this is an important thing that's going on here. Is the Lord is telling Samuel, this is not against you. Now the people of Israel have every right to be angry with Samuel and his sons, but it's actually not Samuel or his sons that they're upset with and why they're asking for a king. And the book of 1 Samuel doesn't tell us explicitly why they're asking for a king, but we're going to find out as we read in the chapters to come. And here again is an important reason why reading the book over and over again and getting it in you will help you understand this. This takes a little bit of investigation. You have to be a little bit of a detective to find this out, but if you read it over and over again, it will start to become clear. We're going to find out several chapters in the future here that Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, is actually in the process of besieging Jabesh-Gilead. This is not something that could happen overnight. Jabesh-Gilead is a walled city at this time, and Nahash is trying to besiege it. And so it would take years, sometimes months and sometimes years, depending on the height of the wall and the strength of the city, and how long the people in the city could hold out when being besieged. Besieging a city in those days was a very big deal. You know, it took a large army, and they would have to completely encircle the city so no one could get out and really cry out for help or go and escape. They didn't want anyone escaping. And so they would circle the city, and then they would start building a siege ramp. And building that siege ramp was basically just moving as much dirt as fast as they could and as safely as they could. Staying free from the archer's arrows from over the wall, building that siege ramp. And that could take a long time, anywhere from months to literally years. When Israel was, or when Jerusalem was besieged in AD 70 by the Romans, it took over 2 years for them to build the siege ramp to take Jerusalem's walls. So it could take a long time. And so this has been building up over some time. Nahash is in the process of attacking the Ammonites. You know, one of the things that I think is accelerating this is that because Samuel has kind of retired and he's taken time off and he's put his sons as the judges over Israel, and they're accepting bribes. They're going after dishonest gain instead of serving the Lord. One of the things that's probably not happening is they're not coming to the help of Jabesh Gilead. They're more concerned with getting money and bettering themselves than they are being Israel's protectors. That was one of the jobs of judges in Israel's history at this time, is if you were judging, you were also supposed to be protecting Israel. You're supposed to be fighting their battles. And Samuel's sons are not doing this. And Samuel is obviously not involved or engaged enough at this point either. He's still the most respected person in Israel, and that's why they come to him. They're not going to Samuel's sons and saying, do something about this, because they know that the sons are not going to do a thing. They're not going to lift a finger to help Jabesh Gilead because they're only concerned with themselves. And so this is kind of the detective work that we find out. It's they want a king because they're tired of having these constant attacks and the Lord needing to raise up some judge. They're actually tired of repenting to the Lord. They're tired of having to throw away their idols and actually come back to the Lord. They're tired of returning to the Lord. So we saw at the beginning of this, at the end of the last chapter, that the people of Israel, at the beginning of Samuel's reign as judge, that they had repented and they put away their idols and the Lord saved them. But over time, they've gone back to their idols here and they're worshiping foreign and false gods. And so now, instead of returning to the Lord again and crying out to them, what they'd actually rather have is a king to fight their battles instead of having to go back to the Lord. And that's what they're rejecting here. They're rejecting the Lord as their king because they don't want to have to repent anymore. They're tired of the cycle. They know the stories of how throughout the book of Judges, they would serve other gods and the Lord would oppress them with other nations. And then they would repent and the Lord would save them. He would raise up a judge and save them. And they're tired of doing that. They just want a king who will fight their battles for them, who will lead them into battle just like every other nation has. And the Lord prophesied this to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 17, is that they would ask for a king one day. They would ask for a king and the Lord said he would give them one, but it was because they wanted a king like all the other nations had. They did not, the people of Israel right now, they no longer want the Lord to be their ruler. They want a king who will provide this stability in the midst of their sin. And that's the issue here. It's not that they just want a king to help fight their battles, but they're tired of having to repent. They know what they need to do, and they're choosing not to do it. And that's why the Lord tells Samuel, it's me they're rejecting, not you. And that's an important thing to note in this passage. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways to let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and we'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.